very much indeed. Before I start, I just want to support the thing about South Africa that's been said. I want to say to you guys and girls this evening, in my estimation, this is the best nation on earth. And I am biased because it's my best nation, my bestest, favoritest nation on earth, this nation. It is a magnificent nation. It is magnificent. We have the privilege, as Clint so generously said, of traveling. So we get the honor of going to quite a few nations. But when we come here, and it's a year or so since we've been here, the moment you walk here, there's openness in the heavens. Just say thank you, mighty God, for the privilege of being back in this nation. It is magnificent. It is magnificent. And you, each one of you, you hold the answer to what God wants to do in this nation, through this nation, and into the nations of the world. So Rory asked me, very graciously, I'm very honored to be able to share with you this evening for about 35 minutes. Setting my thing now. 6 things I would tell my sons on Father's Day. Or 7, might be 7. And I have told my sons this. We have 2 beautiful boys. One is 31 and one is 28, nearly 29. And so before I say anything to them, or every time I see them, every day I see them, I hug them and I kiss them. And I love kissing them on their neck. I love it. 6 things. Or 7 things. Assumption, I mean, as I share this, our two boys are saved. So the assumption as I share these things is that you're already saved. If you're not saved, if you haven't confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believed in your heart, spoken with your mouth that He is Lord, believed in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you need to consider that this evening. Jesus Christ is Lord, He is Master. He is Yahweh, the I Am, that came to earth, that we could have a relationship with Yahweh. So if you don't know Jesus, it's crucially important. So not in specific order. This is what I would say. And I have said, so I'm saying this to you after prayer and after asking what God would have me say. 1, in case I don't get through them all, the importance of His Word, the Bible, getting it in and obeying it. Beautiful. 2nd thing, not in order, just as I jotted them down. Probably the most important, but becoming like Jesus. 3rd thing, keep demon free. Keep demon free. 4th thing, live by the Holy Spirit. 5th thing, absolute priority of finding and walking in the calling that God has given each one of you. The specific and unique call that God has given each one of you. 6th thing, make sure that you're tithing, offering, and being very, very generous. 7th thing, sons, marry the right girl. If you marry the wrong girl, you'll never, and same for girls with boys, you'll never walk in the calling that God's got for you. The Bible says in Malachi, you're joined together with a portion of the Holy Spirit. It's very important. You marry the right girl. Or if you're a girl, you marry the right boy. Same vision. Not identical, but same vision, same heart, same understanding. That you click, you get on. Don't be pressured by the world. Don't be pressured by relationships. Don't be pressured. The most important thing is you marry the right person. So wait until you know. And you might know in a moment, and that's fine. But the importance, first thing, of getting the word and keeping it. So many of us have been brought up on this verse of scripture. I saw it on it. Very interesting. In Centurion, where we were early on, I saw this on another church. And I thought, that's very interesting. I wonder what sort of church that is. And it was John 8:36. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Wonderful. How many have heard of that scripture? If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. But what happens is we take that scripture, John 8:36, and we say, okay, I'm saved. The Son's going to set me free. I'm going to be free indeed. But we take that scripture out of context. So what I say to my sons is this. You've got to read John 8:31 and 32. For if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's so important that we understand that the Son sets us free when we know what it is he's going to set us free from and how we're going to be set free. Being free indeed is not automatic. It's not an automatic thing to be free, but it's conditional on knowing the truth of God's word and walking in obedience to it. So we've got to know God's word and we've got to walk in obedience to God's word. And then when you're saved, walk in obedience with God's word, you start to understand what is expected of you, obey God's word, and then you walk into freedom of what God has. Got to get God's word, got to start to understand it, got to obey it, and then the Holy Spirit works with the word and we walk into freedom. Abiding in his word means to trust his word and believe his word. Walking in obedience to him. And as we do that, we are truly one of his disciples. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Talking here about the Logos, the written word of God. Instruction manual. God's story to us. But also, the word of God is the Rhema word. And you and I are to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God for you. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. That's the word that is Rhema. Every Rhema word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Live on every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Every day, that's what we're to live on. We eat bread, we need the word. Every single day, we need to be expecting God to speak his Rhema word to us. When we're suddenly reading the Bible, reading the Logos, abiding in the Word, understanding the Word, living by its precepts, the Holy Spirit transforms us and we start to become free. But as we're reading the Word and doing that, suddenly the passage of Scripture stands out that we just know that we know that we know is for us for that day. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Rhema, through the word of God. So don't worry if you don't have faithful things, because faith comes. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the rhema word. Faith comes by hearing every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. When God says something to you, you're going to do this, you've got faith and you do it. God said to me a year or so ago, I am going to build you a house. God is building us a house by faith. Every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Read, obey, apply God's word. Then you will be free, and free indeed. And as you are reading, the rhema comes and you've got faith. So I've only got a couple of minutes on each thing. Second thing I want to say, becoming like Jesus. You and I, from the moment we get saved till the moment we die, till our spirit goes to heaven, awaiting the redemption and resurrection of our bodies, which is the completion of our salvation, when Jesus Christ returns, with the cry of an archangel, the command of Jesus, and the trumpet of God, our spirit is reunited with our resurrected body. The completion of our salvation. But whilst we're on earth, until we die and our spirit goes to heaven, awaiting the resurrection of our bodies, we are to become like Jesus. So do not be fooled. We are to become like Jesus. Do great things for him. Fulfilling the outworking of our calling, which we may talk about. Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, and he's saying to us, his disciples today, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, immediately they dropped everything and they followed him. We need to immediately drop everything and follow Jesus. If you're not immediately following Jesus, there's something wrong. If you're not immediately being obedient to Christ, there's something wrong. If you're compromising, if you're pretending, if you're playing church, if you're playing being a Christian, there's something wrong. And I speak plainly to my sons. But with love. So if we follow Jesus, which is what he's saying, his disciple, but if we follow him, implicit in following him, and I have talked about this before here actually, but if we follow him, implicit in that, we become like him. Those 12 disciples became like Jesus because they followed him every day. As we follow Jesus, we become like him. So we start to think what he thinks. We start to see things the way he sees things. We decide to see problems like he sees them. We start to see the world like he sees it. Not the way the world wants us to see things. And suddenly, we start to do the things that Jesus did. And the things that Jesus wants you and I to do every day in this nation, so that this nation becomes even more mighty in the things of God. And so this nation shines and shines and shines, and the people in it shine with him, and multitudes are drawn in. We become like Jesus. Every other religion on earth is utterly false and it is demonic. Yet our God, God the Son says, become like me, do what I do, even do greater things than me. We follow Jesus, we become like him. So many illustrations of just doing crazy things. Praying for people, walking up to people, just come to church. Okay. Because if you're doing what Jesus did, he's with you to do it by his Spirit. This big Turkish man that's building a house. We can't speak. We live in the Turkish Republic of North Cyprus. Kathy can speak Turkish quite well, but not technical Turkish as in architecture and building. And I'm stumbling along. I've promised God I'm going to learn. He actually rebuked me. I was going to study another course of study, theological study. And God said, what are you doing that for? What? Just learn a language. Learn the language. So dropped it. Okay, sorry, I apologize, Lord. But this great big Turkish building, no neck. How am I going to ask him? So I go up and I kiss him. I love you. Poof, tears in his eyes. I love you, he says to me. Can you put a bit more there? Yeah, sure. Trust me, he says. Trust me. Just so many things. But we have to spend time with Jesus. We have to spend time with him to become like him. Spend time with him. I have a friend of mine who leads a church. He leads the most amazing church. He runs a software company. He's a busy guy. I mean, this guy is busy. He is busy. Doing well. Reaching the nations. But you know what the key is for what happens in the church and his business? He says, David, he's 50. He says, David, I spend 3 hours every day sitting on Jesus' lap. It's becoming like Jesus. I've always said the hard work in life is done in prayer. Spending time with Jesus. Being with Jesus, young people, sons, daughters. Spending time with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, keeps us free from insecurity, keeps us free from the curse of comparison. I've got to look this, I should do that, I should be doing this degree, I should be that, I should have these clothes, goodness knows, I should have this perfect body, I should be go to gym and do this. It keeps you free from all that rubbish. Just, Jesus. And then you become so attractive. Because, man, what have you got? Well, I'll tell you, come to church. 70% of people that get saved through being invited to church. Third thing. And honestly, this is, for me, any case, this third thing is also an important thing. Is keep demon free. Keep demon free. Now, let me say this. Being a born-again believer, I sincerely believe that we cannot be possessed. We're saved. We're born again. But I do believe people are demonized. And areas of their personality and soulish type things get affected by demonic activity and demonization. And this church will have its own theology, so just that's my view. I don't believe that a born-again person can be possessed by Satan, but he can be oppressed and demonized by the enemy. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Attack areas of personality and just drive people to torment. Such a person belongs to Christ, but yet struggles in areas of life, from depression to addiction to swearing to anger to goodness knows what it might be, stealing to worried about what people think of them, etc. I want to tell you this from my experience daily. Demons torture and demons torment. Demons' job is to keep the unsaved from getting saved and keep the saved from being useful for God. That's why every single day demons are leaping out of the telly telling us what to do. I'm spiritualizing it a bit and what to wear and what to... And by the way, don't trust the news. Get the news behind the news. But that's another issue. Demons want to attack our bodies, our emotions, our attitudes. Demons entice, harass, torment, bring fear, defile, deceive, all sorts of religious deception. If we stay in the Word of God, setting us free, if we're sitting on Jesus' lap, you cannot be deceived. And demons want to deceive you and me. And if they can deceive you, sons and daughters, at your youngish age, then the course of your life can be altered forever. Got to keep demon free. Demons want to make you weak, sick, tired. Actually, they want to kill you. Then they can go on to the next one. Demons of fear, anger, pride, rejection, fear, lust, depression, life, self-pity, failure, forgiveness, unforgiveness, rebellion, pornography, nicotine, alcohol, tiredness. It goes on. Let me tell you this story. End of last year, I was tired. We'd been busy, too busy. We're adjusting that, hopefully. When on holiday, I was depressed. I was completely depressed. I just wanted to stay in bed. I was depressed. I was miserable pig. Just dreadful. And I started to get lustful thoughts. Who has had lustful thoughts? I was a miserable. And I prayed and I just couldn't get... And I was reading a Derek Prince book. The old guys are good. Don't just read the latest pop theology. Check it out. Read some of the old bullets. Dead bullets. Still sharp. Still penetrate. And I was reading a Derek Prince book, and he was saying in his book that he suffered from depression. And he said, God took him to the scripture in Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, capitals Yahweh, who calls upon Yahweh, mighty God. It shall come to pass that anyone who calls upon Yahweh shall be delivered. The same translation, shall be saved. It's used in the New Testament of salvation. But here, in absolute accurate context, shall be delivered. Those that call upon the name of Yahweh, it shall come to pass that those that call upon the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. So in my desperation, I said, Yahweh, I call upon you. It says, it shall come to pass that if I call upon the name of Yahweh, I shall be delivered from this demon of depression. And like, he took my toupee off. Whoosh, the thing was gone. And suddenly, boo, everything was bright. Hey! Freedom! And lust too. Lord, deliver me this demon of lust. It shall come to pass that I'm calling upon the name of Yahweh. Lord God, deliver me. Whew, gone. I haven't been depressed since. So just, and of course Christ sets us free, delivered. But I'm just trying to say, demons keep, sons and daughters keep demon free. Because they rob. 4. Live by the Holy Spirit. Live by the Holy Spirit. So, Word, God, become like Jesus. Follow Jesus. Become like Him. Become like Jesus. Can you imagine there's lots of people here? If we become, we understand. We're never going to be gods. We understand that Jesus is God. But in His graciousness, His kindness, He's saying, I want you to become like Me so you can do the things on earth that need to be done. And so the gospel can go to the nations and then the end can come. We need to be in the Word. The Word sets us free. We need to be demon free. We need to live by the Holy Spirit. I say to my sons, you've got to live by the Holy Spirit. We're to hear what the Holy Spirit says to us. Part of the Rhema experience. We don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit with our head. We don't hear the Holy Spirit with our head. This thing's just an organ. When we die, it rots away. But you know, there's so many of us, me too, that live brain bound. That this thing controls everything we do. What we think, what we do, what we'll... Da, 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 da. That's why there's these things we do to be free. But the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to our brain. It speaks to our spirit. When we're born again, when we become alive, when we confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, bang! My spirit, your spirit, comes connected to the Spirit of God. Oof! We have the Spirit of God living in us. We are a new creation. And we are dangerous and powerful and free. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. Here, wherever the spirit is. But doesn't speak to the pip. The real you is your spirit. That's you. That's what's going to stand in the presence of God. When our resurrected body catches up with our spirit and we're before Christ, the Bema seat, this is what have you done? This is what I had planned for you. This is what you've done. These are the amazing things. Call of God on your life. Incredible things to do. Individual calling of God. Sons and daughters, this is what I had for you to do. This is what you've done. There shouldn't be a gap between the two. This is what I called you to do. This is what you've done. Live by the Holy Spirit so he can instruct us and teach us and show us and lead us. Son, daughter, it's our spirit that's going to be forever in heaven. Our rewards in heaven, our new responsibilities in heaven. The demons speak to our brain. Harass, torment, lie, accuse. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. Holy Spirit for me. I can remember where I was going on outreach in the city of Durban in 80-something or other. And I can remember where I was standing in a warehouse. I said, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? There wasn't a pizzazz. There wasn't people at the front, people falling over. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, by the way. But I'm just saying, I was just standing there. Jesus Christ, I've heard of this Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. I want to be filled, and now there's more for my life so I can be obedient and walk in your purposes and power. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you fill me, please, with the Holy Spirit? That's it. Then I asked for the gift of tongues, started speaking in tongues. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled daily with the Holy Spirit, refilled. Oh, please, Lord, baptize me afresh. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We practice living by the Spirit. Reading our Bible. Spirit of God. So radical, it's so completely different from the things of the world. Son and daughter, it's a magnificent way to live. Fifth thing, working out your calling. Each one of us is called with a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So each one of you and me was called with a holy calling, specific plans and purposes for you to do before the earth began. Called of God, Son, daughter, called of God. Ephesians 2:10. There's works prepared beforehand for you to do. So as we obey God, live free, live by the word, Live by the Spirit. Keep demon free. Walk into that which God has prepared before the worlds began for you to do in South Africa at this time. The world can never, ever, 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 ever be the same again if we do that. The call, discovering your call and walking in your call, what God's purposed for you, is more important than your career, more important than your children. Children are important, but more important than your children. Where should they go to school? They need to go to this university. They need those clothes. They need this. No, no. If we put the kingdom first, Jesus adds all these things to us. He knows that your children need a good education. I haven't got time to, no, I haven't got time to talk about it. But I have a wonderful illustration. But I can't talk about that. Our calling is more important. Discovering our calling is more important than our possessions, our things, our gym membership. Decide first. Work out first what God's calling you to do. That's why the local church is so amazing, because you can start to find out what you like to do in the different ministries and different things. Going on these incredible trips, working, I'm sure many of you are, putting chairs out, hoovering the carpet. I probably said this before too, but for 6.5 years in one church in Durban, Kathy and I hoovered the carpet, put the chairs out, put the chairs away, packed them out, packed them in, did this, made tea, hoovered, da-da-da-da, cleaned the bogs, da. 6.5 years. Then, one day, we were off to Qatar. Then before we knew it, practically speaking, there was a church happening around us. That's how God does it. And Rory, been so incredibly kind to us over so many years, through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, coming to us and now Robin Hallett to help us with the work that that church is doing into the nations. So thank you. It's so simple. Son, daughter, grab hold of it and shake it. Shake it. Or grab hold of yourself and shake yourself. Don't be robbed. Don't be dumbed down. Don't be cheated. Don't compromise and don't be compromised. How do we discover what we're called to do? I'm going to stop. Yeah, I've got a couple of minutes. Romans 12, if we can turn there. How do we discover what it is we're to do? Romans 12, 1. Please, don't let it be a Christian culture that you're in. Like, wow, I'm cool, I'm a Christian. Become like Jesus. They were first called Christians at Antioch because the pagans didn't know what to call these people that were so countercultural. They had to call them something, so call them followers of Christ, Christians. The followers of Jesus that did extraordinary things. What should we call these people? They're so radical. Oh, we better call them Christians. Please, you cannot call yourself a Christian if you're a pew warmer. You can't. Not in the context. How do we find out what we're to do? Romans 12. From God to you this evening. From Yahweh. Yahweh, mighty God. 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. Brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. If you want to find out what your call is and what God's got for you, we lay down our life as a living sacrifice. Jesus was our sacrifice. We are to be a living sacrifice. Daily lay down our lives as a living sacrifice. Lord God, Yahweh, everything is yours. I lay down my life for you. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. It's harder to die every day like this than to take a bullet as a martyr, because then it's over. Every day we are called to lay down our lives. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, reading the Word of God, becoming Christ-like, living by the Holy Spirit. You become transformed. The Spirit works with the Word. You've got to have the Word. The Spirit works with the Word. Changes us. Lay down our life as a living sacrifice daily. And then you will discern what is the will of God for your life. Good and pleasing and perfect. I absolutely love walking with Jesus, because it's a wild ride. It's wild. And it's fun. And it's dangerous. It's risky. It's scary. It's full of adrenaline. It's full of tiredness at times. It's full of fail. It's full of success. It's full of seeing people's lives transformed and changed. It's full of my life being transformed and changed. It's a magnificent thing. Don't know how many that is. I've run out of numbers. 2 minutes. Thank you, Clint. Also, don't rob Yahweh. How do you rob Yahweh? Malachi. By robbing him, by not giving your tithes and offerings. Abraham tied to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Tenths of all he had. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Some theologians say actually maybe he was even Christ. We are to give a tenth of everything to Jesus, to God. Tithe, give your money. If you want to prosper, tithe. I'm sure this is a very tithing church. I'm sure it is. But there may be one or two here that perhaps haven't. It's a big thing to start, but it's fantastic. Tithe, offer, generous. You will never, ever, 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 lack. We've been doing it since 1984. So, and I said at the beginning, choose the right sons, marry the right girl. Don't get hung up about it, but you just know, umpire of your heart, yes, no. She looks nice, but she's not right. Oof, no, sorry, babe, you're off. Oh, sorry, I'm off. Same for the girls. Oof, you know, it's looking, you're quite nice. No, doesn't feel right, sorry. Oh, wow, this feels right. Because you've been doing all these things we've been talking about. Okay. That's the right one. I was talking to anyway, I haven't got time. This weekend to an amazing story. In 1 week, from not knowing somebody to being married. And I met them today. By the Bertie, they're a good looking couple. She's gorgeous. Father, help us to stand.